For the past 19 years, best-selling author Karen Slaughter has captivated readers with her poignant and gripping thrillers. Fans enjoy not only the depth, detail, and creativity that goes into her books, but the themes of female empowerment, her skill for holding a mirror up to society to explain what's going on in the world, and her endless support of local libraries, just to name a few. For her new novel, The Last Widow, she returns with her most popular characters, Will Trent and Sarah Linton, after a three-year hiatus. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Karen Slaughter to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Boy, it's always fun having you on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me back.
Well, you're a very fun guest, and we like talking to you. So what brought you to this particular novel? It says right on the front cover of the book, She's the Key to Unlocking the Truth, The Last Widow. What brought you to that point?
Well, I have a great pleasure of talking to a lot of people in law enforcement and, asking them about cases and things like that. And a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was talking to a local FBI agent, and I said, what scares you? What is the big thing right now that you're concerned about just as an agent who reads all this traffic that's coming out of Quantico? What are you worried about? And he said, I'm worried about us, Americans, domestic terrorism, white supremacists, the Christian identity movement, the militias. Those are the things that we're seeing a lot of chatter from that are eventually going to be our number one priority. And, he was right, because right. If you look at what the director of the FBI is saying is the number one threat to Americans right now, it's white supremacists. So, I feel like I cheated a little by being ahead of my time getting behind this story. And unfortunately, what they were talking about is come to fruition. We're seeing a lot of these groups who are getting more and more violent, who are trying to kill more people, who are trying to top each other, and who are doing exactly what foreign terrorists have done, which is trying to change the nature of America.
What do you think the impetus is for that?
Well, I think part of it is just this belief that they're right and everybody else is wrong, which, most of us get quickly disabused of that notion once we become adults. We learn there are nuances everywhere. And I want to just be emphatic that there is a right and wrong on this. This is not a political issue. It's an us against them. They are wrong and we are right. There is no place in American society for the white supremacist extremist. And if you look at what they want to do and how they are recruiting people on the Internet, they're doing the same thing Al-Qaeda does. They're creating these recruitment videos with rock music, showing them training and being part of a group and trying to reach out to new recruits and make them think, hey, this is something I want to be a part of. And mostly it's they find isolated people who feel like they don't quite belong, and they say, hey, here's the thing, it's not you, it's the rest of the world, and the way to fix that is to change the rest of the world.
So when you take on the story and you want to write about it and you bring back these two very popular characters, how do you say, okay, this is how we're going to address this?
For me, I think it helps to make everything personal. And so what I have in the opening of the book is Will Trent, who's a Georgia Bureau of Investigation agent, and his girlfriend Sarah Linton, who is a medical examiner for the state, are having a typical Sunday afternoon. He's cutting the grass. She's being nagged by her mother as her mother's cooking Sunday dinner. And they hear an explosion that literally shakes the ground. And they run outside, and they see a plume of smoke coming up from a major university campus in the middle of Atlanta, which is also the same place that the Centers for Disease Control is headquartered. And like every first responder out there, they do what no sane person would do. They run toward the flames instead of away from them, and they end up getting involved in a very personal way with what's going on and with these terrorists.
When you look at that personal, of keeping it personal, obviously that is for the characters, but that's for us, the reader, too, because we care about these people, right? So if you make it personal to them, it's personal to us.
Absolutely. And, you know, we care about our country. We're all Americans. It doesn't seem that way lately. It seems like you're on one side or the other. But we all are, at our basic core, Americans. And, you know, that's why I say this is not a political issue. This is an American issue that we can solve. And we've solved it before. If you look at what happened after Timothy McVeigh bombed the Murrah building. I mean, the frightening thing is a lot of these groups, a lot of the organizations you saw represented at Charlottesville revere Timothy McVeigh, and they want to top what he did. And as Americans, we need to fight that tooth and nail to stop that from happening again.
Why do you think violence is so prevalent? I mean, you talk a lot about this in the novel.
I think that people get angry, and I think that especially young men are more prone to violence. I mean, there are all kinds of studies and statistics to back this up. Not that women can't be horrible, too, but men tend to be horrible in a more physical way. And I also think that there is a certain level of encouragement. You know, I don't want to be reductive and talk about toxic masculinity, but I do think that as gender roles are becoming more neutralized, as society changes, sometimes young men think, you know, what is my identity? And they glom on to these retrograde sort of ideals where they say, well, you know, your identity is you're a white guy and you're the best thing the earth has ever known and women should service you and minorities are beneath you and you're just the best thing in the entire known world, right? I mean, who wouldn't think, hey, that sounds better than I'm just some guy who lives with his parents and can't get a job? Right. So there's a lot of positive reinforcement they're getting that's not necessarily good for them.
That positive reinforcement is, do you think it is increasing? I mean, do you think it's become a bit more normalized than it was, say, even 5 years ago?
I absolutely think so. And we do have people in power who are talking about, are you borrowing phrases and terminology from the white power movement, like the Great Replacement, where, you know, the fear is that white women aren't having enough children and eventually will be replaced. Well, I mean, a normal person looks at that and says, yeah, well, that's called evolution. Right? We as citizens of the earth have continually evolved. You know, there was a time when a Catholic couldn't marry a Protestant, and now no one really cares. I mean, that's just how the world keeps spinning. But some people just feel very threatened by these things, and they want to hold on to their power. And I mean, gosh, in one way you think you can't blame them because having that power has served them really well, but it doesn't necessarily turn out to be a good thing for people who are also living in the world and also would like to live a nice life and have nice things.
How fun is the dynamic of having a medical examiner teamed with an agent, an investigator?
It's a lot of fun. And one of the things that I made a point of doing from the very beginning is making sure that Sarah, as a medical examiner, keeps in her lane. You know, she doesn't go out in the field. She's not interrogating suspects. She's not one of these TV sort of medical examiners who's always in Louboutins and running around in tight skirts and, you know, pulling out guns and things like that. She's doing what most medical examiners do, which is sitting behind a microscope or an autopsy table. But with this book, I thought this would be a nice opportunity for Sarah to do something different. And she finds herself unwittingly embroiled with one of these groups. She gets kidnapped. I don't think that's giving too much away. It's on the jacket of the book. She's kidnapped by one of these groups. And for the first time in her life, you know, here's this woman who's a doctor and who has used her medical knowledge to help people. She's using her knowledge to actively hurt people and hopefully kill them. So that was a really fun thing for me to try to figure out. And I've had a doctor who's advised me from the very beginning about things that Sarah can do, medical things. And I said to them, okay, we're going to stop helping people and we're going to hurt them. And he said, I've got a long list of horrible things she can do. So that was a little alarming, but it was good to know.
So this book is out, The Last Widow. I would also like to ask you about the Netflix adaptation. Pieces of Her is soon to be an 8-part Netflix adaptation. That seems very exciting.
It is. Yeah. It's funny to think that something that I came up with sitting in my pajamas with my laptop is suddenly employing 100 people. I had the pleasure of being in the writer's room a few months ago where they're coming up with the stories and the scripts, and it was just really amazing to see. But I'm hopeful we have news soon about casting, and they plan to start filming in March, and maybe we'll have it on the streaming platforms at the end of next year.
Do you? How much involvement do you have? How much involvement do you want?
I don't want a lot, because these people are really good at what they're doing. I mean, they're smart. They've worked on a lot of other shows like Big Little Lies and Homeland and House of Cards. So they're really good at this whole medium that is foreign to me. But I am an executive producer, and I do have conversations with the writer, and they do keep me in the loop about things. So I'm a little bit involved, but it's clearly their show. They're the professionals.
Remember Bob Parker telling me many, many years ago, his advice to anyone in that position is take the money and run.
Yeah. not a bad piece of advice there, I think.
The Last Widow is the new novel. It is really terrific, as all of Karen's work is. Karen Slaughter is the author of The Last Widow. It's out from William Morrow. Karen, thanks for being with us. A pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be back with more Roundtable right after this.